If you turn with me in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 12, please. Hebrews chapter 12. And then put your finger into Philippians chapter 3. So Hebrews chapter 12, and then your other finger into Philippians chapter 3. So we've been doing this series called Carrying Stuff. So yeah, part number 6, we're on part number 6. And this journey has made us look deeper and into the stuff that we carry. You know how we started off and we spoke about carrying stuff. And the question I asked you, is it burdensome or is it light for you to carry this stuff? And only you can answer this. And we had to, right in the beginning, part one, we had to acknowledge that we are carrying stuff. And there's also in life, as we go along life, there's stuff that we pick up and stuff that we carry that we shouldn't be carrying. And life just seems to dump this on us. And, you know, often we're not aware and we say, well, where'd that come from? And we see that we're carrying stuff. And we want to know that when we move on, we've checked our stuff in. And then remember we spoke about getting rid of the guilty stuff. And then we spoke about repairing the relational stuff. And then Bridget spoke on shedding rejection. And then, of course, in the whole thing, through this whole thing, Kevin came up with an amazing message called, there's a message in your mess. And I'm going to steal a quote out of him. And he said in this thing, and it goes very well with what we're doing today, it says, when you hold on to your history, it is at the expense of your destiny. So we credit that to the president, Kevin Johnson. He's on vacation at the moment. And so that's why they're not here. So when you hold on to your history, it's at the expense of your destiny. So let's go to Hebrews chapter 12. And this is one of our clear verses we've had throughout the series. It says, verse 1, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin that clings closely. And the Greek word there says those things that try and ambush us or that thwart us from every angle and prevent us from moving forward. And then it goes on to say, and let us run with the endurance the race that is set before us. And we know we can't run the race with endurance if we've got a whole bunch of baggage on our back and we're carrying stuff. Looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that's set before him, enduring the cross, just think about Jesus carrying the cross up the Via Dolorosa. And we've seen so many movies of it and how it's depicted. Can you imagine that was all your stuff that he was carrying up the Via? And so we don't have to take it on. He took it on for us and he went to the cross for us. And he said, despising the shame. And he is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Let's flip over to Philippians chapter 3, verse 13. And Paul speaking, he says, brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind, forgetting my stuff, I'm straining forward to what lies ahead, I press on towards the goal for the prize of the upward calling of God in Christ Jesus. And so we just want to leave it there. And so today I want to add to our little journey, and I've called the stuff that lingers longer. I mean, just look at that beautiful picture of that butterfly roped to this rock. You know, we did that whole series of metamorphoses and we meant to fly and to fly in the face of everything. And here we have this rock holding him back. And this is stuff that lingers longer. I want to tell you a story about linger longer. Anything that says in your life, linger longer, run away. I was fresh as a new sales manager in the company that I was working for. And we went to Johannesburg. I was from Durban. My friend was from Cape Town. And we got up to Johannesburg. And that night, they didn't provide any entertainment or food for us. And so we were like, well, what do we do? We're in Johannesburg. We don't know where we are. So we went to the hotel desk and said, is there a restaurant we can go and eat at? And they said, oh, yeah, no, just go up one block, turn right, go down two blocks. There's a beautiful restaurant there called the Linger Longer. So his name was Bruce, and Bruce and I went off and we walked the streets of Joburg, like these two like wide-eyed guppies. We entered into Linga Longa and we looked at the decor and we thought, wow, this is quite an amazing restaurant. And then they came and they brought out the stuff, and I'd never seen it done this way before. You know, they brought out the starters, the hors d'oeuvres, and they brought it all out on a tray. You got to choose, and they went and cooked it. Then they brought it out. Then they brought a trolley out, and there were all these fish and meats and all that, and you got to choose. And I thought, this is cool. You get to choose your own stuff. And they asked, would we like a bottle of wine? And this is before Jesus, okay? And so we said, yes, we'd like a bottle of wine. And so we had a bottle of wine, and then they brought out the dinner, the desserts, and we had a wonderful meal, and we chatted, and we spoke about everything. And then the bill came. Oh, my. He looked at the bill, and I looked at the bill, and I thought, I think they've made a mistake. There's just two of us, not eight of us. And then I checked the bill. Oh, no, they were right. And so Bruce said, he was the sales rep and I was the sales manager. And he says, well, you've got a bigger account than I have, so you can put it on your card. And so I did, and we walked away and we said, I just pray the accountant doesn't check the bills every month. And I had to go and explain. I went and I said, listen, we went to this beautiful restaurant called the Linga Longa, and we lingered longer. And now this is what the bill looks like. So hence, the stuff that lingers longer. Anyway, long story short, let's move on. When we come to salvation, so just remember, linger longer, leave it alone, don't go there. We get to drop off our stuff, and we get to get rid of stuff that holds us back, and we hopefully are not like this butterfly. But we've also found that sometimes there's just this one or two nagging thing in our lives that we don't quite easily get rid of, and that's what that rock represents. And we just can't seem to get rid of it. That one piece of baggage, that one piece of linger longer, that one thing that holds us back. And remember, we looked at, in Scripture, we looked at the word stronghold, and it's there. It's a stronghold. Makes us a prisoner of what it is, and it holds us back. And then we eventually, when we go along and we say, well, I just can't get rid of this thing, and then we start to justify and make excuses about it, and we say things like this. God gave it to me to carry. That's the way I am. You're just going to have to deal with it. That's the way I was born. I'm supposed to carry this stuff because it's going to build character in me. I've just learned to cope with life. I just want to tell you, they're all lies. That's not what God's about. We're just saying He made us. What did we sing this morning? Brand new. He got rid of all that stuff. Romans 7:15, it says this in the message. He says, what I don't understand about myself is that I decide one way, but then I act another way. Doing things I absolutely despise. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? I've set my course, I've set my mind, and then all of a sudden, somewhere along the line, I get this little linga-longa detour. You know, it's just up the block and round the corner. It's not too far. And you can just go around the corner and you can end up at the linga longa. And then this thing is holding on to you. And our life's journey, we're on this journey, if not checked, becomes a vortex of destruction. Becomes a vortex of destruction. A downward spiraling. And you know what life does? It doesn't paint it black. It doesn't paint it white. It paints it in rainbow colors. So we look forward to the journey. And it looks, I mean, look at all those beautiful colors. Wouldn't you want to be part of that? The problem is, though, at the bottom is a dark pool. And it's waiting for us. It's waiting for you. And so, how to recognize the stuff that is linger longer? I'm so glad you asked. Number one, it becomes part of your identity. Remember that I said, well, I'm just like that. It's who I am. It's who my grandfather was. It's who my father was. So therefore, it's who I am. Lies. It's part of who I am. What it does is feeds into every lie that the devil has told you about yourself. 2 Corinthians 10:5, it says, we destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God and taken every thought captive to obey Christ. Remember we said that? If we break that down, we destroy the arguments means we destroy the lies the devil tells us about ourselves. And then it goes on and says, and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God, every good thing that God says about you, the enemy lies to you about. You're a son of the God, you're a son of the Most High King, you're a victor, you're a victory. No, I'm not. I'm just walking in defeat. I don't know how to do this. I just feel like nothing. I'm an orphan. No, not. You're an adopted son of the Most High King. And we take captive every thought, all of those thoughts that the enemy keeps trying to put into our mind. We take obedience to Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Not a parts changed out and you need a new gasket and you need a new engine block and you need a new this. No, no. Whole new engine. Whole new car. Whole new going forward. Romans 8:15. For you did not receive the spirit of slavery. And that's what this is all about. But to fall back into fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption as sons by whom we cry, Abba, Father. And some of us find it difficult to cry, Abba, Father. Go and stand in front of the mirror, stand in front of in your bathroom, in the shower, and just practice crying, Abba, Father. And it might sound hollow in your head the first time, but eventually you get the reality and the life of it inside of you. And when you say it, you'll say it with conviction and with power, and it will raise you up and strengthen you and bring you into His freedom. It means we have a new name, a new family, and a new identity in Christ Jesus. Now I've got to thank you. I've got to be careful how I say this. I know there are support groups that you go to. Not that you go, but some might go to it. And you go along and you stay. And a lot of them start off like this. And I can speak for Bridget and me, and we could start off by like this. Hi, my name is Mark, and I'm a drug addict, and I've been sober for 25 years. You just spoke life, death over yourself. Either I was a drug addict, now I'm free by the power of Jesus Christ. I no longer am a drug addict. I'm no longer drawn by that. I no longer have an appetite for that. I no longer live like that. And then we go, and I've been sober for 25 years. And I know it is necessary for some people. I want to say, if you are in Christ Jesus, Jesus can deliver you from that. Supernatural divine, if you've read Bridget's book, you've heard her testimony, supernatural divine deliverance on the spot, never ever to look back, never to go down that road again. Jesus can set you free so that you will no longer be a slave to that thing, that linger longer, that whatever it is in your life. Number two, I want to try and go quicker than I am. You become increasingly hopeless, right? That's the word. You become increasingly hopeless, which means you didn't check your stuff in, you checked out. You didn't go, this is my baggage. Jesus, I'm giving you my baggage. I know you paid for it on the cross. I want you to carry this thing. I want to be free. I want to live in freedom. I want to walk, travel light, walk free. I want to be a son of the King. No, I'm just checking out of this thing. I don't really know about this. So I'm just going to check out. You don't understand. I've read every book there is. I've listened to every CD. I've watched every DVD. Actually, I've got the T-shirt. I'm the president of the club. And it doesn't work. This happens when you fought the same fight over and over and again. Why? Because we go, the things I don't want to do, somehow I end up doing them. Two-letter word. No. I know it's that difficult. We've got to learn to say no. The third thing on this downward spiral in our vortex of destruction is we become defensive. Hopelessness requires that you now have to defend your problem because now I'm feeling hopeless. This is part of my identity. This is who I am. Don't you understand? If I let go of this thing, then who am I? I'll tell you who you are. You're a son or the daughter of the Most High King. Taken from darkness into light. Delivered from bad into evil. Anyway, we're getting defensive. It's like for me, Tom and Irina, I'm half Irish. I'm a little crazy. Thank you. I get a little bit crazy sometimes. My mother was of Irish stock, 5'1" of her. She stood 7 foot tall in my opinion. You just didn't want to get on the wrong side of 5'1". Little crazy. I'm in control. I can stop this anytime I want to. Anytime I choose to, I'm in control. I'm becoming defensive now. What's your problem? I don't have a problem. You have the problem. Don't come around me and tell me you know me. You don't know me. You don't even know who I am. You don't know where I come from. You don't know what I've been through. No, you're right. Jesus does. We become defensive as to why this problem even exists. We don't want to say it's a problem. You've heard me speak about scotomas, blind spots. That's why they're blind, because you can't see them. And even when people point them out to you, you go, no, I'm not like that. Yes, you are. Yes, I am. Number four, you become its slave. You become a slave to it because it actually controls you and your life and your stuff, and it directs you where it wants to go. And then you realize, once I start shopping, I can't stop. I just look at, what's the anthropology? How do you say that name of that place? Anthropology. I heard the girls Facebooking about it. I thought, take away their Visa's card and don't let them go there. It's Joanne's kryptonite. She can't handle herself when she goes in there. You know, men are from Mars and women are from? Visa, not Venus. Have you ever thought that word, that little piece of plastic called a MasterCard? Let's think about it. MasterCard. It wants to master you. Master you. It wants to take you to places. I don't want to get into debt. I don't want to spend too much money. But look at the plastic. Okay. You know, remember in the old days? Well, okay. This side, remember the old days? Okay, Ellie, quickly run this side. You used to take that piece of plastic and you used to push it through the machine. They go, you know, all that sort. That's the only sound you heard. And you felt such relief, eh? And we were so happy. Now you just put it in and thing and go, deet, 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 deet. Don't even know that MasterCard is taking where it wants to take you. Okay, 2 Timothy 2:23. Have nothing to do with foolish, ignorant controversies. You know that they breed quarrels, down to verse 26. That they will become to their senses, talking about people being careful about where they're going, where they're headed, and escape from the trap of the devil who has taken them captive to do his will. And when we follow this vortex of destruction, and we hold on to the linger longer stuff, we're in this vortex and we don't even know that we're going down, because look at the beautiful colors. Listen, wonderful, we're on a rainbow journey. No, you're going down to a black hole. Last one on this section. You begin to lose your life. We all start out with well intentions. All our intentions are always good. No one wakes up in the morning and says, let's use Paddy and Ellen. Paddy, wake up and say, I'm going to make Ellen's life and Andrea and Amy's life miserable today. I just can't wait for today. Anybody wake up like that? I'm going to go down the road. I'm going to go to work and see how I can mess my boss's day up. He's probably thinking that about you, but anyway, just move on. We start well, yet we allow ourselves to continue to carry things. Well, do you remember? Well, I'm just coping with life. I'm just going along. No, you're not coping. You're on this downward twirl and you don't know, because you're just the colors of the rainbow. So pretty in the sky. Okay. Sorry. This downward vortex. The promises of God, I've heard them 100 times, but they're for everyone else but me. They're not for me. Paul, only me. It's not about me. Romans 6:12. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its evil desires. I'm glad I didn't write this stuff, eh? Because you'd all get mad with me. Do not offer any part of yourself to sin as an instrument of wickedness, but rather offer yourself to God. I was walking along, and then all of a sudden I ended up on Lingalonga Street. to those who have brought from death to life, and offer every part of yourself to Him as an instrument of righteousness. Listen, for sin shall no longer be your master, because you are not under law, but you are under grace. Like sin, there are no restrictions. The devil doesn't put restrictions on. He just wants to crush you. Do you know that that's his resume? To kill you and to destroy you? He doesn't know anything else. Why does a scorpion sting? That's what he does. That's what he's meant to do. Well, we'll just carry the scorpion. He won't sting me. Zing. He stung me. Well, that's what he did. That's what the scorpion does. All that this vortex of destruction wants to do is destroy you. And when you carry on and just go on and defend and become increasingly helpless and etc., etc., we're all along for the journey, and it's keeping you from God's best in your life. Got 6 questions. Just answer them where you are. We're not going to do anything else with them. Do your family and friends say you have a problem? Do you continue in this behavior even though it's hurting others? Do you arrange your schedule around it? Can you go 1 week without it? Is it leading you to isolation? Are you trying to keep it a secret? If you answer yes or no, if you answer yes to 2 or 3 of those things, you are with the MasterCard. You are being mastered by that thing, the very thing you don't want to do and the very thing that you despise, as we read in Scripture before that. So, well, Mark, that's all not nice news. Have you got some good news for us? I'm so glad you asked. Because God has a way, the means committee, to dump the linger longer stuff. And it says there in 2 Corinthians 3:17. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Just let that wash over you. Let the water of the Word of God wash over you. So that thing, I'm not going to call it out for you, because you know I'm praying that as I'm preaching now, Holy Spirit has got his little sword out and he's like, you're going, ay, oh. I have to let everyone around you know, but I pray it's happening. Jesus didn't come to make you feel sorry for yourself or make you say sorry. We think all we have to do is say sorry and it's all okay. That's not why Jesus came. Jesus came on mission earth for mission freedom. That's why Jesus came. He came to earth on mission freedom, and that's what Galatians 5:1, for freedom Christ has set us free, to stand firm, therefore, do not go to linger longer road, and do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. Do not submit yourselves again. Just when you go, oh, I've been down this road before, let me go and see how it worked out for me last. Well, you know how it worked out for you last time. Don't go down the road, stay away from it. I can just honestly say my heart, and I will speak for the other pastors here, the other elders here, our hearts are open every time we gather to create an atmosphere where you can encounter God. And I trust that you do it for yourselves at home and on the bus and in wherever else. But part of what we do here, so you can get rid of the linger longer stuff, that you can walk in the freedom that you've been called to. And the question, of course, is how can we do that? So how can we do that? Number one, can the excuses. Stop the excuses. Stop blaming everyone around you. Some of you did and some of you had bad stuff happen to you and to you alone, and know you have lived with it. And today you can change it. And somewhere along our lives, we can all say, well, you don't understand, this happened to me and that happened to me and this happened to me. I get it. But Jesus came so we can be free of that stuff. Jesus came. You know, we can't. It's my dad's fault. It's my mom's fault. It was my brother's fault. It was my sister's fault. It was my uncle's fault. It was my teacher's fault. And yes, it was also my pastor's fault. I blamed my pastor for a long time. When I was a young teenager, there was a call of God in my life. I went to the military. I got messed up a little bit there. And then my pastor came to me and I'd been away. I'm not going to tell you what he said or did, but the point was, I walked away because I said, if that's Christianity, I don't want it. And for years, I blamed my pastor. Well, if it wasn't for him, I would have been in the ministry sooner and I would have answered that call sooner and I would have done that better and I would have been there sooner. No, I made the decision to walk away. And one day I had to sit down in the cold dawn of daylight and face myself and say, Mark, you made the decision. He didn't behave well, but it wasn't his fault. It was my fault. I walked away. I could have been gracious and overcome it. I wasn't 12. I was 20. It comes a time when we have to say, I'm drawing a line in the sand. We have to come and say, so far and no further. I'm not carrying this piece of bag any longer. I'm putting it down here. I'm not getting hold of it. I'm not making excuses. I'm drawing the line. I'm taking full responsibility. How's this? In Luke, Jesus is inviting people to this full life. And he's helping them. And he's showing them. And they go like this. But they all alike began to make excuses. They first said to him, I've bought a field and I must go and see to it. Please have me excused. And another said, I bought 5 yoke of oxen. I'll go and examine them. Please have me excused. And another said, I've married a wife and therefore I cannot come. Please have me excused. Excuse after excuse after excuse. And all Jesus was trying to do was open a life for them. He's inviting them to the greatest banquet of all time. And they say, no, I'm okay. I'll do this. Philippians 4:13. This is what the Bible says about you. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. We need to get that into the head. When the excuse comes, say, no, I can do this in Christ Jesus. Now, we can't do it in the flesh. We can only do it in Christ Jesus. My job here today is to help you to see that and to see the lie and fill the void. Because when we get rid of something, then a void is created. We're going to talk about that soon. The next one is that we actually have to cut the ties. One more click. Okay. One more click. We got to cut the ties, get rid of the clicks. We can't sit here and go, well, I hope you do this. Wow, Mark, that was a great message. Wow, that was cool. That helped me. You know what? Where I'm sitting now, I'm dropping my stuff. I'm letting it go. And I'm walking out of here and I'm free. Because I'll tell you something now. There's another person that come along behind you. He's got many names. I'm just going to call him Satan for today. And he picks up your little stuff that you just dropped off. And he says, I'm going to do him a favor. I'm going to take it home for him. And he takes it home and he drops it at home. And when you get home, as you walk through the door, Satan stands and says, look what I brought for you. You left this at church by mistake today. It's yours. And we've got to be aware. Can the excuses cut the ties and say, no, whoa. I left it there. The fact you picked it up, you walk away with it. That's not staying with me. And we've got to be wise to that. We've got to understand that when he comes in, he says, I just thought I'd do you a favor and bring it along for you. 1 Corinthians 15:33. Do not be deceived. Bad company ruins good morals. Wake up from your drunken stupor, as is right, and do not go on sinning. For some have no knowledge of God. I say this to your shame, says Paul to the Corinthian church. Helps us. We must completely cut the tie. Not just a little bit that's sticking on it. Well, I'll just cut it and I'll know how far it is enough and I need to. I can just join it and go down Lingalonga Street again. No, cut the tie completely. Cut everything. Environmental, social, people, everything that is a negativity in your life. Cut it and move on. Thank you. There's nothing... What am I writing here? There's nothing in the sermon. There's nothing in the sermon that I'm preaching this morning that Bridget and I have personally not walked through ourselves. So this is not just a nice little, well, go and do it now. And because I know there's going to be a little bag waiting for me when I get home today. Because I find that that's how it works. When I preach on something, then I know as I open the door, I'm looking for the bag. Where did he put it? Where did he hide it? Because you know he's going to test me and see how good my words are and how much I can... nearly fall over my... It's just because I'm a day older. Anyway. We need to tangibly disconnect from the ties that bind us. Don't quote me. James 4:7 says, submit yourselves therefore to God, unto God. Let me help you. Resist the devil and he will flee. You know what I've said about this so many times. Just know, I'm going to resist the devil and I'll just resist. No, no, no. Submit yourself to God because that's the safest place you can be. I'm trust as even now as I'm preaching, the Holy Spirit is highlighting and pointing stuff in your lives. And you're going, man, I'm just dropping this bag right here. Father, I come to you in the name of your Son, Jesus. I've lingered longer, far too long at this place called Linger Longer, and I'm dropping this thing right here. And I'm not going, when I walk in my door, if it's there, I'm going to kick it straight through the kitchen window. A miracle, it won't break the kitchen window. It'll just disappear. Oof. Okay, let's move on. Now, we have to understand that even as we're preaching, as we're getting rid of the stuff, we're creating a vacuum. And we have to fill the vacuum, we have to fill the void. When we remove and extract something from our lives, we make a void. And whatever, because you know what, if you do not fill that void, someone's going to fill it for you. Don't want to give him more pulpit space than we already did. You know who I'm talking about. Going to fill that void for you. Ephesians 5:18 says, do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit. So let's have a look at that now. I'm just going to do it, all of it. There we go. So let's just do it all. So now let's break that down. And do not get drunk with wine. Okay. Now, whatever your linger longer stuff is, do not get space, space, space. You fill in the blank. For that, if you keep doing that, if you keep lugging that poor rock along like that poor butterfly, it's debauchery. And the word in the Greek is asotia, which means an abandoned, disillusioned life. Prodigality, which means just like the prodigal son. Dissipation is debauchery and degeneracy. It's that downward spiral thing we're talking about again. If we don't get rid of the linger longer, you go, well, Mark, my linger longer stuff is okay. No, it's not okay. It's holding you back. Kevin's quote, if you don't get a load of, go of your history, you can't walk into your destiny. I think I might have told you the story. In the Karoo, in the Western Cape, they have a lot of farms there. And the baboons come. And they steal all the corn. They steal the corn. And so the farmers get clever because they can't catch them because they're too quick. The minute they see the farmer coming, whoo! Have you ever seen a baboon troop run? They run very quickly. So what they do is they take a gourd. Gourd, okay. Pumpkin gourd. They take it out. They leave the pips inside and they chain it to a tree. And it's just small enough for the baboon to get his hand inside. But once he gets his hand inside and he grabs those pips and he closes his fist, he can't get his hand out. Man, 10 farmers can come with 10 shotguns. He will scream. He will perform. He will shout, linger longer, linger longer, linger longer. He will not let go of those pips. His brain doesn't get him to let go of the pips. And sometimes we're like that. We have this linger long thing. We've got a hold of it. And Jesus is saying, be free and walk in your freedom. And you're screaming and shouting. But you won't let go. And I want to encourage you today, let go. Let it go. Okay, sorry. I can't help myself, sorry. What does it say? Do not get, bing, bong, 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 whatever your linger long is, for that is debauchery, but be filled with the Spirit. And that Spirit, that word is pneuma. It is God's powerful breath of life. The same breath He breathed into Adam and rose Adam created Adam, the same breath He breathed into Lazarus and rose Lazarus from the dead. It's the same breath. The Spirit of God is breathing into you and says to you, that is the power there. Do our minds conceive that? I'm walking in the power of the Most High God because of His pneuma breath upon me and in my life. And yeah, we got linger longer. And we won't let go and we won't speak the word and say, no, I'm going to be filled with the Spirit. I am filled with the Spirit. I'm walking in the Spirit. I'm walking on the King's highway. Don't get me started. I'm trying. Okay. So now, just in closing, a couple of things on how we fill that void. I just call these void fillers. I know they're difficult ones. Someone asked a question the other day, take how much time you spend in the Word versus how much time you spend on Facebook. Watching TV. No, don't like that one. Anyway, Ephesians 5:26, that He might sanctify, having cleansed it by the washing of the water of the Word. And I know they're talking about husband's wife, but it's also talking about the bride and the bridegroom. And the bride, us the bride, being washed by the bridegroom, the water of the Word of God. And we're standing on this ocean, this waterfall of God's Word pouring into our lives, pouring over us, filling us up. Hebrews 4:12, for the Word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joint and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. That's the Word of God. Helps reveal what's in our hearts. And sometimes we don't want to cut too deep because you don't want what there is revealed. Allow God's Word to come in. Our souls and spirits being washed. You think you've got you don't have an issue? This is the issue. Because we don't know the Word. Because we don't know who we are in Christ Jesus. We don't know. So we get our identity from something else. And we want to get our identity from the King of Kings and my brother Jesus and the Paracletos, the Holy Spirit that fills me and heals me and touches me and He responds to me. The next difficult one. Pray. Hebrews 4:15. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are. Yet without sin. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and find grace in help to help in time of need. That's our promise to us. Communicating with the Father. Ephesians 6:18. So before Ephesians 6:18, from about 12 onwards, we know what it says. It says, put on the whole armor of God and the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness and the sword of the faith and the shoes of ready with the gospel of peace. And now we're all dressed up and ready to go to war. And who are we going to fight? And what does it say? Pray. Go and read it. It doesn't say go and fight. It doesn't say run around like lunatics cutting off people's heads and killing demons. Go to the book. End of the book. We win. When we've got on the armor, that's just to protect us. So that as Louise said in the prophetic word this morning, when we raise that shield, we don't have something already sticking us because we've allowed stuff in there. But when we raise the shield, nothing can come in. And then pray. Pray at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. Oh, I thought then when I've got all the armors, I can be the cool Roman soldier and I can go stand firm. That's one of the pieces of scripture I love, and I also, well, I'm confused. Because I'd rather get out there and whoosh, let's go. But no, it says there, pray. It says, when you've done everything to stand firm, comma, stand. What's the point of that, God? And pray. Communicate. Well, I don't know how to pray. No, you do. Can you talk? Can you speak to one another? Then you can pray. Oh, thou great heavenly Father who rides upon the winds. What? Yeah, you'll accept it, but it's just so much either going, morning God, thanks for a great night's sleep. Benny Hinn, Holy Spirit fill me. What should I do today? Amen. But I can't take the mic and come up and pray. I've told you, one of the most powerful prayers was from an 11-year-old. We were going on a mission trip. Lord Jesus, bless them on their mission trip. Amen. Power of God. In the place. People are, whoa, what was that? Who prayed? The 11-year-old over there. God will use anyone, anytime, any place. Where are we? What am I? I don't even know where I am. Oh, yeah. Next one. Did I finish my points here? Yeah, no. Next one. Some people like to call it, you need an accountable partner. Me, I'd rather go the buddy-buddy system. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. Let me think about what the Bible means. Proverbs 28:13. Whoever conceals his transgression, you don't know who I am, I'm keeping this a secret, will not prosper, but he who confesses and forsakes them will obtain mercy. God is merciful. God wants the goodness. God wants the best, the very best. Not the so-so best, not the sort of best. You know, we pray, give me more of Jesus. You already got everything. We need to learn to change our prayers. I want more of the Holy Spirit. You've got the Holy Spirit. And I know there's difference between being filled and the infilling, and I haven't got time for that today. But we, Jesus, the Father, has given us everything we already need. We just got to learn to take it up and walk in it. We just got to learn to actually take up that shield and put on the helmet and put on the shoes, and we actually got to be there and pray in the Spirit at all times with all prayers and petitions. Your life can change today. You can sit there, you can dial out, or you can hear and obey God's word. You get to choose. That's the cool part. You can go linger longer. You can be doing while I'm preaching, you can be playing Facebook, reading whatever, doing whatever you do. I'm not offended. I think God is though. You can change today. The last one, it's the thing we all cry out for. Ministry. Galatians 5:13, for your call to freedom, brothers, only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, serve one another. 1 Peter 4:10, as each has received a gift, use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's very grace. You know what we have to really do? There's two things we can do. Number one, practice being kind to one another. Just be kind. Be kind to each other. Pour someone a cup of coffee and take it to them at the table. Something simple. The second thing we can do, start a conversation. How are you doing today? What did the Lord say to you? Oh, that's hard. No. Then we translate the conversation into prayer. Mark, this is so dumbed down. This is like too easy. Yeah, I know it is. Find an area when you've left this thing in the church where you can fill your void. You know, I have this thing. If you can't serve here, you're not going to serve out there. Can I just be honest? No, I just want to go and do it. Go, be. If you feel you're called to street evangelism, happy. Go and do that. That's what we're meant to do. If you feel you want to do those treasure hunt things, go and do them. You don't have to get permission. But if you can't do it in the homegrown place, in a family where you're safe, I don't know if you're going to do it out there. Find a place to fill the void. And I know I'm sorry again, I'm just showing my age once more. Well, it may be the devil, it may be the Lord, but you're going to have to serve somebody. Bob Dylan wrote a song in one of his saner moments. Well, it may be the devil, it may be the Lord, but you're going to have to serve somebody. Last scripture for us today. I encourage you. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Do not be overcome by your linger longer. Let's stand together.